Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shrink the Books is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favorite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Namon Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behaviour creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Books is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It's the final Saturday release, James. What does that mean?
But bonus!
Bonus live episode from the Off Menu Tour in 2023. I mean, 28th of November 2023 this was recorded, James. The day this is being released is the 4th of May 2024.
Man.
I'm in Japan right now.
Really?
It's the day before my mum's birthday right now.
I'm going to be sitting in my flat missing my friend.
But to cheer you up, James, you can listen to this. This was, of course, the final night of the residency in Dublin, recorded at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre on the 28th of November 2023. As I said, there will be some callbacks from the first half that won't make any sense. But don't worry about it. Just relax into it. Enjoy your lives, for God's sake.
Also, some of the stuff that aren't callbacks won't make sense. Yeah. Ardal is a wonderful man with a unique mind.
Ardal O'Hanlon, the wonderful special guest. What a way to round out the tour.
Look, ending it in Dublin with Ardal O'Hanlon, who could ask for anything more?
Exactly. And the secret ingredient was raisins slash cocaine, which we are reliably informed, and we should know, really, is a Father Ted reference.
Yeah, well, listen, this Dublin crowd, they knew every single detail from Father Ted. So even people like you and I, who've obviously watched Father Ted.
And love it.
Love it. Watched it more than once.
Yeah.
Didn't know all those. They knew everything.
And everything about all of Ardal's work, I'd say.
Yes. Yeah. They had a lot of suggestions for secret ingredients. But we did land on raisins slash cocaine.
So hopefully Ardal will not say raisins slash cocaine. Let's have a listen. It's sad to say it's the final live episode. But we'll be back next week, of course, with the normal recorded episode.
Yeah.
But very exciting. Here we go. The Off Menu Menu Live of Ardal O'Hanlon. Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, taking the... Oh, okay. Okay. Gives me a bit more time to plan what I'm going to say. Taking the mushroom soup of conversation. The turbot of humour. The triple fried chips of conversation. The cider of the internet. And the knickerbocker glory of giggles. It's the Off Menu Podcast, Tony Wood style.
Tony Wood style.
He's taken his coat off.
Tony Wood style.
Tony Wood style. Tony Woods has taken his coat off, but he's left his scarf on. Tony Wood style.
We'll have that scarf off before the end, Tony Woods.
That's Ed Gamble. That's Tony Woods. My name is James A. Caster. Together we own a drink restaurant. Tony Woods didn't own it.
By the way, the audience who listen to this podcast will not hear the first half, so this is going to be fucking weird.
Yeah.
You know, who the hell is Tony Woods? Does he mean Tiger Woods? Is Tiger Woods the guest?
That might be your other son.
Yeah.
He let you down by not being a piano tuner.
Just people listening to this going, what the fuck? I'm turning this episode off.
That's a gamble. My name is James A. Castle. Together we own a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite in a guest and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Arnold O'Hanlon!
Yeah!
Obviously. You come to Dublin, you bag O'Hanlon, but you know it's gone right.
First email straight to O'Hanlon. First reply... Yes.
You'll be happy to hear it was yes. We know the secret ingredient already, of course.
Keep that in your heads.
Keep that in your heads. So let's kick off. This is the off-menu menu of Arnold O'Hanlon. Oh, I loved it, though.
Yeah,
no one's danced on before.
As if Perfect. This was Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah. James, what are you doing?
Yeah, sorry.
Yes. The genie has to make a proper entrance, Ardell, you understand. Now, would you like to rub the lamp to get the genie out of the lamp?
Of course.
Please, you must approach the lamp and give it a little rub.
Oh...
There we go.
Oh. Oh, the power. Welcome, Arnold O'Hanlon, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Oh, thank you, Jeannie. It is so fabulous to be at the Dream Restaurant, finally, in front of Mr. Cum and all his friends.
Mr. Cum and the rest of the Cum family.
And all his friends. Yeah.
James, you wouldn't have seen that because you were the genie in the lamp there, but Ardell rubbed his bottom on the lamp to get the genie out.
I thought that felt weird. Yes. That hasn't happened before.
Yes, it felt powerful.
Yeah. Mm. It's rare.
To summon a genie. It's a rare opportunity.
So you thought you'd use your bottom?
Yes. That I use my bottom for other things as well. It's multifunction.
Do you want to take us through all the functions before we kick off?
No.
You sure? I mean, pretty sure it's learned up front page news if you do.
Well, picking up stuff off the floor. And there's the other stuff.
That'd be very useful if your arm stopped working.
Yes. Yes.
Pick stuff off the floor with your ass.
Just nonsense to anyone listening to this. Just, yeah. I suppose it is true though.
Bit of work for the editor.
Yeah. Poor old Benito.
Would you call yourself a foodie, Ardell?
Yes. I like food. I like touching it and and eating it as well. I am a food eater and I like. Yeah, and then going into a dark room afterwards and, thinking about it.
You think I have a good think about the food afterwards in the dark room?
My day does revolve around it. I love food, yes.
So you touch it, you like touching it?
I love touching it.
What's your favourite food to touch, would you say?
I would say it is... I love garlic. I love the smell of garlic on my fingers.
Yeah.
So, really?
Yeah, I don't eat garlic. I just like... I like smelling it. I love smelling food and eating it and touching it.
Yeah, when you've chopped... when you've chopped garlic...
Yes.
It is nice throughout the day. Well, I forget that I've chopped garlic, so yeah. I'll make the meal. And then later on, I like scratch my nose, like, what the
yes.
fuck is
that?
So you're saying that you chop garlic and then throughout the day, you'll be smelling your fingers...
Not deliberately smelling them, but, like, if I have a little scratch and I'm like, what the hell is that?
But yes. Are you doing that in public?
And it brings you back?
I guess I'm doing it in public. I mean, you know.
You pick up a reputation. The finger sniffer.
No, I just get some really cool men coming up to me going, yeah, me and all. I'm like, love chopping garlic, I guess, brother.
I also like chopping chilies and...
Do you?
Yes, I love that. And some people like you, and then you scratch your eye and you get upset.
Yeah,
I don't mind that. Like,
you like scratching your eye? You like that?
after eating the show. Yes, I like that. I like food. It's all about the senses, isn't it? And, you know, that's one of the senses, pain. So, yeah, I love that.
I did that and picked my nose once after I chopped a chili and I had to...
Oh.
That was not nice.
Yeah.
I had to basically sit there with a pint of water, snorting a pint of water for the rest of the evening.
But, you know, like, I'm a little bit older than you, and so you want food to be interesting and you want an experience, you know, every time you eat. Like, I don't eat for... out of necessity anymore. I don't really have to. I just eat for, like, to get sensations.
So you just want to feel something.
I want to feel full.
Yeah.
And pain and other stuff as well.
So you say when I get older, I'll enjoy the feeling of like a painful nostril after I chop a chili.
Yeah. Yeah. You just want to feel something.
Yeah.
God's sake.
I'm alive.
So you just, you see, some people might be, oh, I'm a bit hungry, but you're like, it's been a while since I've had a sensation.
Yes. No, but that would be exactly it. So, touching and smelling and rubbing food on myself.
Anyway. Well, we'll see later on, maybe at the end of the menu, we'll check, you know, which bits you'd like to rub on yourself, which bits you'd like to touch.
Yeah.
Which bits you'd like to smell.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've pinched yourself into a corner you can't get out of here, Ardell?
No. Yeah, I do, yeah. I feel boxed in.
I think you got all the senses to choose from.
Yeah, I only know three of them.
And you think one of them is pain.
I don't like looking at food. Yeah. God, no, the sight of food makes me sick.
Well, you can't. You can't look at it. You've just rubbed chilies in your eyes straight away.
That's right.
Have you ever had a mishap chopping?
I have. I did that terrible thing where you're not supposed to chop the carrot when it's vertical. Did you know that?
You're not supposed to chop a carrot when it's vertical?
When it's vertical.
I did know that, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't know that.
No. I didn't know I knew that, but now you've said it, I do know that, yeah.
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 So I've done that, and I've cut whole swathes of my finger. Avocados.
Sorry,
as well.
I have another question about that. So when it was vertical, did you put the... Because obviously carrots taper towards the end.
Yes.
Did you put the fat end on the chopping board?
God.
Or did you... And please don't let this be the answer.
No. Yes, I had the fat end, but here's the thing. It was freestanding. So...
You didn't hold on to it?
I didn't. My arm wasn't working. It was... So I had to just, like, let's say that was the carrot.
Yeah.
That can of water on the table for people who are listening, who are using that particular sense.
Oh, you must be jealous
of
that.
He's got all the senses now.
Which brings me on to listening to food.
Yeah.
Hearing food. That is one of the great things about the whole eating experience.
Yes.
Yes, I love the sound of food. I love it. Apart from, fizzy water, I don't like the sound of that.
Right.
It's sinister.
Yeah.
Evil, I would go as far as to say.
Yeah.
It is evil,
you know, you've heard it.
Yeah, I've heard it.
You know what it sounds like.
Never trusted it.
So I love the sound of other food, though.
Mm. Care to elaborate?
Well, crunchy food.
Crunchy food.
I only eat crunchy food.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, most people like crunchy food. I mean, that's the whole point of it, isn't it? I don't give a shit about the taste, but as long as it's crunchy.
Yeah.
Carrots,
you
enjoy that.
Yes, or sprouts. Raw sprouts, even. I eat. Yeah. They're horrible, but, like, they're crunchy.
Yeah.
Ice, like, whatever.
Crunch the ice.
You like the sound of the crunch as you cut through your thumb?
Crisps are the greatest food of all.
Yes.
Because of the sound.
Purely because of the sound.
Yeah.
What your favourite brand of crisps? Remember where you are.
Oh yes. There's a crowd called O'Donnell's crisps in Ireland. Yeah. Really good crisps. You're supposed to say Tato in Ireland.
Yeah.
But that's not absolutely essential. There are two rival Tatos in Ireland, which mirrors the political situation in this country. There is Southern Irish Tato crisps. Uh-huh. They have a theme park.
Yes. Yeah,
that's how important they are to the Irish economy. You have Northern Irish potato crisps. And here's the thing. Okay, fair enough. They're not as good as the Southern Irish potato crisps. But, and this is absolutely true, where potato crisps are manufactured in Northern Ireland is literally the ancestral home of the O'Hanlon clan, of which I am a part. Yes, there's O'Hanlon. No one gives a shit here about that.
They were stunned by that. Yeah. They were like, what the?
I am the rightful heir to Northern Irish potato crisps, and if they were any good, I'd take myself up on that.
Oh. So what happened with the carrot?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, well, obviously, it was freestanding.
Yes,
and,
obviously.
I used a knife. I didn't have a carving knife.
Yeah. As what you would traditionally use for
a
carrot.
I was planning to carve it. We were having it for Sunday lunch.
I think they're used for cutting off mouse tails. What kind of knife did you use?
I used an ordinary table knife, a little...
A butter knife, like a just well, a, like you'd a, have like a normal...
You could use it for buttering if you wanted.
Yeah, just a normal for your dinner.
What?
Just a dinner knife for your dinner.
Just an ordinary dinner knife,
not even a steak knife.
Not even a steak knife. It was the only knife to have.
How old were you when this happened?
What?
How old were you?
I was 42.
Okay.
Yeah.
So blunt knife.
Blunt knife, freestanding carrot, carnage. So, anyway... I like touching food.
Now, I think we already know the answer to this, but what we always start with still or sparkling water. Now, you've already said sparkling, you don't trust it.
I don't like it. Don't like bubbles. Don't like the sound.
Does that...
Does that go for all bubbly drinks?
Yes, I don't even like champagne. I love most drinks. Sometimes I have to drink it, which is fine.
Oh, it's a hard
but
life,
I don't
isn't it,
choose it. I don't like it.
Sometimes one has to drink champagne.
I know, I just have to drink it. It's so boring.
But
I genuinely don't like bubbles because of the part of the sound, but I don't like any bubbles. I don't like bubbles in the air or I don't even like aero bars. I mean, I just
really?
Hate bubbles. Fuck them.
I wouldn't have. I think of you as quite a sort of fun-loving, lovely, relaxed man. I would never expect the words "fuck bubbles" to come out of your mouth.
It's probably the only time I've ever used that word. Yeah, that's how much I fucking hate bubbles.
What about when you stand on bubble wrap?
Well, yes, I enjoy killing bubbles, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, it's when you get to have.
I don't just stand on them; like I jump on them, I headbutt them.
That makes
I stab them
with a butter knife.
Yeah, which is pointless.
Come on.
What? So still.
So you're a still water guy.
Still water guy, but I don't care about water. I mean, I know it's got its uses and stuff like that. You know. Irrigation and that sort of shit.
Sure.
But I don't really care about it. What I am really interested in is, the temperature is important.
Yeah.
But more importantly is the glass. So, I'm really interested in the heft of a glass, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That would be more important than the actual liquid in the glass. It would be the, you know,
we'll
like that's too thin. Like this is a thin can of water.
Yeah.
For those listening, that I'm holding in my good hand.
Oh, be careful with the mic in that case.
Yeah. And it's too thin, so it's not. There's no pleasure to be had in holding this can. You know, the temperature is fine.
Ardle, I've heard that before.
Yeah. That would. If I held that can for any length of time, I would probably get like tennis elbow or something.
Yeah,
because you're using extra muscles to get a good grip on it.
Sure. So you want something with a bit of weight. You want when you pick it up.
Weight is important. Yes. Yeah. Good point. And heft. I don't know if heft is the right word to describe like.
Which one?
Girth. Girth.
Girth. Girth.
Girth. Heft. Weight.
That's what you would like.
In that order.
So you don't... Do you know those glasses that have quite a thick bottom to them?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When it's like
almost
the glass
like a whiskey
stops,
glass,
but then it just carries on a big chunk of glass at the bottom. That you're... Yeah.
No, I like that. I mean, the pint of Guinness glass is the perfect glass.
Right.
Absolutely. They know. Yeah. And because it's also got that thing that like the little bulge about three quarters of the way up, which is a good feature.
So girth, heft, weight, and a little bulge three quarters of the way up.
Yeah, that's about all you need. And the lip is important. That is not too thin a lip. Because again, that doesn't channel the water into the right areas of the mouth. It channels it onto your shirt. And that's useless.
Yeah.
Forks are important as well.
Yeah.
So, like, again, the whole, like, eating is fine. Like, okay, you know. Prefer touching, but also prefer, like, again, I think it's maybe getting older. Like, my main interest at dinner will be the heft of the cutlery. Like, we had a dinner party in our house a few weeks ago, and this is absolutely true. So I got, last Christmas, for my wife's Christmas present, I got this amazing cutlery. Like, it is the best cutlery ever.
So you bought that for your wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Lucky girl.
Yeah. But just imagine you handing it over.
She loves design.
Look at the heft on that.
Even more than me, she loves design. I mean, she's got some outlandish cutlery in her collection, which she keeps in a different room than my cutlery collection. So, like, she got these forks, which are, like, they look nice, but they're terrible. Now, look, you know, I shouldn't be talking about my wife in a public forum. But I feel she needs to know. And we're not good on one-to-one. But we've these forks at home. Like, there's only three tines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And two of them are splayed outwards, like the outer two. Oh. So they curve outwards. So you literally can't pierce anything. There is no food that I know of that you can actually pierce. So what's that fork for?
They're turning everything dirty, Arnold. And...
Like, it's for maybe lifting hay or something and throwing it into a trailer. Like, it's not for... Whereas the forks I got her, which she's very happy with, by the way.
Yeah.
They're not just forks. They have a companion knife and spoon.
That's good.
And they're like... So, you know, brutalism in architecture, right?
Yeah.
These are brutalist. So it's a Dutch designer called Martin Haas.
Yes.
Loads of A's in that.
Yeah.
I think there's about five A's in his first name and about four in his second name. Okay, Martin Haas. He has these amazing cutlery sets. So, anyway, still are sparkling, it was the question.
It's the most cutlery chat we've had, but it's important.
Well, I'm surprised you don't talk about it more. Oh, yeah, so I was at this dinner party, and I literally, the next morning, I was really embarrassed. Like, I literally went around to everyone at the table, because no one ever remarks on the cutlery, and we're always furious the next morning. they say, oh, yeah, the dinner is lovely. My wife's an amazing cook, and they're always going on about the fucking food and everything, and they never mention the cutlery. And so at this dinner party, I was going, what do you think of that? So I was just one of those guys going around. You see it there now. Look, maybe it doesn't look special, but when you actually look at it closely, it's all like it's imperfect.
Yeah.
So there's four tines in the proper, you know, at the and there's a stem.
Yeah. You're talking them through the fork.
Yeah. But like each of the tines is kind of like slightly weird. You know, it's
like little wiggly tines.
Yeah. And then, but the weight is the important thing. Yeah. It's just perfect. Heft. Like sometimes. sometimes I'm it's not even mealtime. Yeah. And I will go to the cutlery drawer. Yeah, when I should be working.
Yeah.
And I will literally just walk around with the fork.
It's feeling the weight of it.
Yeah, yeah. And the knife is like a saw.
It's
a really good knife.
If a burglar came in, which one would you reach for first, do you think?
Well, here's the thing. if a burglar came in, I wouldn't know. And the reason I wouldn't know is because, you see, we're very interested in design in our house.
Yes.
And my wife, again, it's none of your business.
Yeah. Yes. The more you mention her, the more I suspect she doesn't exist. But that's kind of...
It's just your wife is actually a fork that you put googly eyes on.
Yeah. But she buys
Hello,
lamps.
My darling.
So she loves lamps.
Yes.
Almost as much as she likes cutlery.
Yeah.
But she I don't know if your wife likes cutlery.
So she buys lamps that don't throw any light. Mm. So our house is really dark. Because all the lamps are lovely. Like they, so it's always design over functionality, and that's a source of contention. And like, literally, there's no light coming out of the lamps.
So you wouldn't know which one to get.
You wouldn't even know. Like, it might as well be a hat stand. It might even be a hat stand with a lampshade on it. Like, there's literally no light. There could be squatters living in my house. I wouldn't know.
This anger explains why you began the show by rubbing your ass on a lamp.
Yes.
Pop-ups up bed! Pop-ups up bed, Adelaide Hanlon! Pop-ups up bed!
Yeah, I'm going to go Papa Dom's. And you know, why? You know why? It's the crunch.
Yeah, of course.
Why do we expect anything else? Yeah. Of course, it's the crunch.
I would if the bread was crunchy, I would consider it.
Yeah.
But bread it doesn't really agree with me. So what?
Toasted. For the crunch. I
never thought of that. No, my wife bought a toaster that looks nice. But you can see your reflection in it. You can brush your hair in it. Yeah. It's really shiny, stainless steel, but it doesn't fucking toast.
Yeah, no joy.
No joy. I would go Papa Dom's probably. And like most people, I would eat too many Papa Dom's at the beginning of a meal and ruin everything, depending on the dips.
So because you love touching food and you love the crunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with a stack of Papa Dom's, Are you smashing? Are you smashing it with your hands?
Yeah, I would. Or I sometimes I bring bring a little hammer.
Yeah,
lovely design.
Just a little tap tap tap.
Martin Haas nice. Hammer.
Yeah, Martin Haas hammer. Yeah.
Nice grip.
Just walk around the house. Do you ever walk around the house with your Papa-Dom hammer?
I do, of course. Yeah.
Burger comes in. Feel that. Feel the weight. Yeah. Tap yourself to the toaster.
Yeah. But I don't love Papa Dom's either. But I would. I would.
For the
I
crunch.
Would have them. I would have them. I do love Skips.
Someone
Skips,
chose a.
Skips are a big thing in our house.
Oh well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in this course, you know, it's Papa Dom's or bread. But people in the past have picked other things.
Is that allowed?
Yeah.
That is allowed. So if you say Skips are a big thing in your house, which we will get into more detail about, but if you would like Skips instead of Papa Dom's or bread, I'm sure you can have a big bag of Skips.
Okay, I'm going to go for that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Thank you.
And do you want the Skips to be the size of Papa Dom's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this allowed?
Yeah. This last night of the tour, fuck it,
the best restaurant in the world.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're here to provide for.
Yeah,
yeah, thank
we,
you.
We want you to have the best experience possible.
Mm.
So if you have the Skip-sized Papa Dom's, the Papa Dom-sized Skips. Yeah. Sorry, Papa Adam.
Papa Dom-sized Skips. Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't bring him Skip-sized Papa Dom's.
No. Yeah. Then that's
and you don't need any dips. I mean, they're perfect. They are perfect. They're a perfect food stuff.
The Skips are?
Yeah.
Perfect food stuff.
They've got protein with the prawns, and they've got, carbohydrates and the other thing.
Yeah.
What is the other thing?
Vitamin D. Yeah.
Yes, the food pyramid. I don't know that. Yeah.
How many Skips are you getting through in your house?
A large bag a day.
Really?
Yeah. Not just me. No, everyone dips in.
You just open a bag at the beginning of the day.
Yeah, they're left out. Yeah. Just left out.
So how many people is that? We've got you, your wife, the burglar.
The squatters.
And the other people, the squatters, yes. Yeah. Yes, I did notice a lot of the Skips had gone missing. Yeah, my daughter's there. One of my daughters lives there at the moment, and my son doesn't live there. He lives in Galway, and my other daughter lives in Australia. So there you go. You have it all now. Is that it? Do you need to know anything else?
That's all we want. We just want everyone's family details, and then it's the end of the episode.
Which one of them do you love the most?
Well, one of them's in Australia, so not her.
Obviously not her.
What burglar?
The burglar.
No, I love them all. I love them all.
So let's get into your menu proper, your dream starter, Ardal.
Dream starter. Well, are pre-starters allowed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a common pre-starter?
Is that common? Well, yes, oysters, obvious. Yeah. Oysters.
Love that. Like,
it's one of the best things in life, an oyster.
How many oysters do you reckon you could get through?
I know the answer to that. Actually, last year, myself and my wife, we were in North America. I was doing a show in a place called Canton in Massachusetts. And there was a bit of trouble. The public transport wasn't working properly and it was impossible to get an Uber or anything. And I was staying in Boston. So this man called Frank was at the audience. In the audience. And he offered us a lift back to Boston. And we went, brilliant. And it turns out Frank is, he owns a really nice restaurant. Uh-huh. And he phoned ahead and he said, what do you like? And we said, oysters. We like other stuff as well, but that was the first thing that came into our heads, oysters.
You can't say skips at that point,
no,
can you?
No, it would be unsophisticated. And so Frank, now this is absolutely true, Frank had laid out 50 oysters on top of the counter. So the restaurant was closed by the time we got back to Boston. So yeah. And there was just a few staff around cleaning up, but they'd left out loads of food for us. Frank was an extraordinarily generous man. So there was, like, I would say 60 oysters, actually.
Yeah.
And myself and my wife had 24 each, I would imagine.
Yeah. Two for Frank.
Yeah. Some greedy bastard took the other 12.
I bet that was quite the night for you and your wife after all those oysters.
I'm sorry, Ardal.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, I mean, it was a good night because we talked about oysters afterwards, how much we loved them. And I love oysters. And yeah, wonderful. I love my wife as well. I was planning to give one word answers tonight.
Yeah. Oh, you got to say you love your wife.
Mm. What are you putting on the oysters? Because there's obviously the shallot sort of vinegary stuff, and you could put Tabasco, lemon. How are you loading up? What's the classic Ardal oyster?
And did Frank provide all of the accoutrement as well?
Frank just waves a hand and oysters arrive. Like he has some way of, I don't know how he conjures up the oysters, but I would go minimal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, you want to taste the sea and hear the sea.
Of course.
Yes.
Holding an oyster shell up to your ear.
Holding an oyster shell, exactly. And, you know, and talking to the oyster and, I don't know, listening to it and smelling it. And so minimal. A shallot would be about the limit. And vinegar, red wine vinegar or something.
Nice.
That would be about it. I have a friend who has an oyster shucker. There's a... People in Dublin will know there's a suburb called Ranelagh. It's kind of like Hampstead or something in London. You know, it's sort of, it's a bit,
Yeah, got you.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who lives in Ranelagh, and he said a very Ranelagh thing one day. I was in his house having a cup of tea or something, and he was putting things away, and he said, oh, God, there's my oyster shucker. Like, that would be a Ranelagh thing to say, to have your own oyster shucker.
Yes.
Like,
I have two.
Have you? Would you prepare your own oysters?
Have done in the past. That's why I bought the shucker, but now I use it to open parcels.
Of more oyster shuckers.
Yeah.
What's the handle like of the oyster shucker?
It is girthy.
Is it?
It is very girthy, but it's dangerous. I'm like you with chopping things. I shouldn't be trusted. Mm-hmm. So when you've got to try and open an oyster, it almost always ends in blood.
Yeah.
So I don't do it anymore.
Yeah. Would you use both hands? When you're...
To shuck an oyster?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a freestanding oyster.
Okay.
It would just be sort of chasing it across the table. Yeah.
Vertical oyster.
Yeah.
So that's your pre-starter.
Yeah.
You're having 24 oysters.
What's the starter? What's that teeing you up for?
I would go scallops, I think.
We're just working our way around the sea here.
I'm just very mercury deficient. And little plastic bag deficient as well. I love scallops.
Yeah.
And my wife does a thing with scallops. Like,
people are now just laughing at the mention of your wife every time.
Oh, yeah, she's funny.
Remember, Ardell, if you bring up your wife, you do have to end the anecdote with, and I love my wife.
Yes, okay.
That's very important.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I do love her is because the scallops she does are great. She puts them on black pudding.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah?
Yeah, delicious.
Anything with black pudding is just... Yeah. Everything is instantly improved by putting black pudding in there. Clonakilty black pudding would be the one. They're the Cork people, you see.
What the fuck was that?
This is one of the big things in Cork, is the Clonakilty black pudding.
Well,
some would say the only thing, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that.
No, you wouldn't say that. You've not said that.
So the scallop resting on the disc of black pudding, with the minty pea puree underneath that, just to give it a little bit of fix it, I suppose, into place.
It's purely structural, the pea.
Purely structural.
Yeah.
In fact, it's really all about the architecture.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, here's our special twist, is a fried quail's egg on each thing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I love your wife.
How about that for a wife?
How about that for a wife? No. I wish I'd said that on my wedding day. When we'd done the vows, just turn around.
I didn't say that, but anyway.
How about that for a wife?
So that's a pretty good thing.
Wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What a dish. And how many times have you had that? Is this like a special occasions thing?
Well, I mean, it would be a kind of a dinner party speciality.
Yeah.
So once every 7 years. No, it would be regular enough. But obviously, if the same people are back, you can't give them that. So
I don't know. If I'd been to your house for a dinner party and had that, I'd be like, can I have that again if I came over?
Yeah, yeah.
And can we get the good forks out?
As long as you mention the forks.
Yeah, oh, first thing I do.
You'll be invited back. If people are wondering why they're not invited back to my house, that's the reason. It's they just don't compliment the cutlery.
Yeah.
I love the little quails. How many would you get on a portion?
Yeah, the standard three.
Although
I have noticed in restaurants, they're down to two in a lot of restaurants.
Yeah. Mm.
Two scallops.
Yeah, suspicious.
Yeah.
Where's that third one gone?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well,
what's going on? I mean, three is the minimum.
Yeah.
Any more than three is probably too many. So
it's the time.
Yeah, if there was four, I'd be like, well,
four,
to kill
I'd give it back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's awful that this is the first time three comedians realise that there's a cost of living crisis. It first hit me hard when they went down to two scallops.
I knew something had happened. So I said to the waiter, come here, boy!
Yes.
Yeah. Can you count to three? Take them away.
Three quail's eggs is great because that is three...
No. There's only one quail egg per person. It's three scallops per person, three discs of black pudding from Clonakilty per person. One big lump of pea puree. And, there would be a little disc of fried apple.
Wow.
As well. Yeah.
How's that for a wife?
Yeah.
Great.
One quail's egg. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I would really enjoy getting three opportunities to split the yolk.
Yeah, but we've only got one quail.
You can't overwork that poor guy.
No. Just doing our best.
You used to have three quails, of course.
Yeah.
Sad times.
It's cost of living crisis. We can't afford three quails.
Yeah. You could have. I mean, it's so dark in your house. There could be three quails knocking around. You wouldn't know. That's delicious.
Mm. I think that sounds good. Amazing. Yeah. So far, this is a very delicious. It's making me very hungry.
24 oysters.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had oysters yesterday. Every time I have oysters, I do think this could be the day that one really makes me ill.
Yeah.
And I was worried yesterday. We did have some oysters, and I was panicking that I'm going to turn up to the
but
show.
But isn't that part of the attraction?
Well, I forgot. Yeah, definitely for you.
Is the risk. It's like
Evel Knievel over here.
Yeah. It'd be like the puffer fish.
Yeah.
The puffer fish. If you eat the wrong bit, you die instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I know that because of The Simpsons.
What?
There's an episode in The Simpsons, I believe, so that's how I know that.
Yeah, that's how I know that too.
There are some things that I only know because they're in The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And one is that if you eat a puffer fish, you could die.
Yeah.
I've never had one, but I would like to try one. I mean, eventually.
Yeah, I imagine you'd love to try it. Yeah. Like,
well, that would make you feel alive, wouldn't it?
It would, for a while.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shrink the Books is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favorite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Nimone Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behaviour creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Books is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So dream main course, what are we moving towards?
Yeah, well, it's all downhill from here. I mean, that's my favourite part of the meal is all that bit.
Oh, really? Starters are your favourite?
Starters and pre-starters. And then I'm kind of already, feeling really queasy. So I was kind of hoping you'd help me with the main course.
Okay.
I love roast beef. So that would be definitely roast beef and, all the stuff that goes with that. But
so what help do you need?
I need help with, because this is a dream restaurant.
Yes.
So I suppose I do consider myself quite adventurous when it comes to food. So I'm always looking for a new sensation. I was in Hong Kong recently, as recently as a few days ago, which is possibly why I'm rambling in the way I am. And I had something I had never tried before, stink beans. Stink beans. So they're beans. They're like a broad bean or an edamame type of thing. Mm-hmm. That's the shape of them, but they're stinky and they taste like kind of foul. But in a good way, it's kind of like a fermented, sort of a mad taste. And the taste stays with you for a really long time. Mm. I can still taste it.
So do you want stink beans? Are you saying that's the level of adventurous you
can but I loved it because it was new and I couldn't believe it. And I thought for a few minutes, this is my favorite food ever. I just want to eat stink beans for the rest of my life. You know, because it was new and I thought I wouldn't be able to taste something new.
Yeah.
You know. And I had durian fruit as well. Have you had that?
Stinky fruit.
Yeah. I've not had it properly. I think I've had durian-flavoured ice cream before.
Okay.
But that's the fruit that's banned on public transport,
yes,
right?
Yes, and rightly so. And you have to wear plastic gloves when you eat it. And you have to be outside when you're eating it because of the smell of it. It's absolutely overpowering. But it's an amazing taste sensation. It's really fleshy. Like, it's like a liver or something.
Yeah.
Like, but a yellow, mango-coloured...
Liver.
It's amazing. Like, as soon as, in this meal, as soon as your wife leaves, eating that stinks like shit.
Stink beans. Yeah.
Just stinky beans and dirty and fruit. You have to wear gloves on the outside.
Yeah.
It's not the stinkiest guy in the world.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, I want you to help me just with the main course. Like, okay, roast beef will be the, you know, we'll fall back on that if you can't help me. But it's a dream restaurant. Is there something that I haven't had that maybe you guys have had that you would recommend?
I'm a genie, obviously. I can make you anything, create you new stuff. If you like beef, but you also want something new, I can make you, like, stinky beef.
Oh.
We can invent a type of roast dinner that stinks.
Stinky beef.
And that would satisfy both of your needs.
Yeah.
Something familiar.
So fermented beef or something.
Yeah, just, like, really stinky. You've got to eat it, not even outside. You've got to eat it, like, on an oil rig. Like, you can't be anywhere near land.
You've got to be totally alone as well. Yeah. You can't be around other people.
Yeah.
You've got to go to an oil rig and eat your stinky beef.
And you've got to wear, like, a full hazmat suit.
Yeah.
That's just got a straw coming out of it that you've got to feed the stinky beef into.
Oh, God. How do you get it up the straw?
You tip your head back like a pelican eating a fish.
Suck like bejesus.
Yeah. Suck like bejesus. And suck that. And it stinks real bad, and like you're going to get attacked.
I don't know if anyone knows, I was already practicing sucking.
You were, I saw you doing it.
Up an imaginary straw there.
And if you touch it, it sticks to your fingers like garlic.
What would give it the stink?
What sort of stink?
How would you prepare the beef that would that would make it?
It's very
delicate.
The
required level of stink.
It's the cut of beef is from specifically the.
Right, okay.
Butthole?
Yeah.
And we just follow it along all the way to the stomach, but it's just that whole route.
And it's so tender. And it's really tender.
So that is the straw, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's essentially the straw.
Yeah. It's its own straw,
We carve that out, like, literally less than a second after the cow has had a shit. So... And we carve it out so delicately that we can remove it and the cow can carry on living.
Yes.
And it's just got a slightly bigger canal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah. But you've never had it.
I'm going back to my original...
You asked for our help.
Roast beef. Roast beef.
Stinky beef.
It stinks.
Sardo.
We've washed it, but it still stinks because it was so fresh that it had the turd.
Yeah, and the taste stays with you for a year.
Yeah.
A calendar year.
Stay with you for a calendar year.
Yeah.
And you have it with just all the usual trimmings.
Okay, I'll have that. I'll have it. I trust you. I don't know why, but I trust both of you.
Yeah, it'd be a new experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It would stink so bad, and it would be familiar because it's like roast beef and it's your favourite meal.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I mean, if you don't want it, you don't have to have it.
No.
I'll have it if you don't want it.
Like, because I pride myself on being adventurous.
Yes.
And I'll eat, you know, you've got to try everything. So I'll be the first person in the world to try that.
Yeah. Also, all the cow has been eating is stinky beans. That's all it's been eating, and durian fruit. It's just been eating that. That's all it's been fed for, like, a really long time.
Okay.
Like, ages.
It's growing on me, definitely. Yeah, it works.
Do you want... The trimmings with the roast beef to be normal trimmings, or do you want them to be stinky trimmings?
Well, in this case, yes. I want it to be very normal.
Normal trimmings.
Yes. Yeah, normal
trimmings. As possible.
So what are the dream trimmings? What are we having with it?
Well, I would go cauliflower cheese sauce. Big thing for me.
Cauliflower cheese sauce?
Yeah. Really big thing for
me. So just the sauce?
No, cauliflower with cheese sauce. Or cheese sauce with cauliflower, whichever you prefer.
But you know why I got mixed up, right?
No.
Cauliflower cheese.
That's how I say it too, Arnold.
I was really clear. I mean, I couldn't have been any clearer, Ed.
Cauliflower, cheese sauce.
That's cauliflower cheese. Just say cauliflower cheese and then we all know what it
is. Well, if I said steak chips, like, you know...
Not the name of the dish, is it? Cauliflower cheese is the name of the dish. That's cauliflower with
cheese. Eliding. I could have put in the and, but for time, we've already gone over time.
Well.
I was abbreviating.
Well, bad luck, because it's going to be stinky cauliflower now.
That'll do me. One of my big achievements in recent years, possibly my biggest achievement ever, actually, was I did sauerkraut. I made sauerkraut.
Tell you what. Okay, yeah, good.
I just think you've had bigger achievements, but sure.
Honestly, honestly.
You made sauerkraut.
Yeah.
That is, well, I consider it to be my biggest achievement.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, honestly, like it's,
yeah.
You know, I'm you know, I'm Irish, so you know, you tend to, like, you know, nothing's good enough. But
yeah, I think someone just cheered you being Irish.
Yeah. Oh my God, is he?
Yeah. But yeah, the sauerkraut was it? Yeah. So which is fermented and it's kind of stinky.
Yeah.
And it's like I just like it felt great making it. You know.
When you say it felt great.
It felt great because you actually have to put a huge amount of effort into it. It's a physical effort because, I mean, there's the cutting of the cabbage.
Yeah
which is freestanding,
obviously.
Yeah, with a razor on this occasion because you got to cut it really, really thinly.
Like Goodfellas.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's where I got the idea for the razor.
But they don't do it with a cabbage from memory.
No. This is the Irish version. Good lads. Good lads. And they're just cooking it with a razor. Whole thing.
That's right. But when you cut the cabbage and you think it's thin enough, it's not. So you've got to really shred it. But then you've got to squeeze it for hours, days. Like you've got to need the cabbage to get all the juice out of it.
Which is right up your street. That's just touching, isn't it? It's just hard touching.
Honestly, that in itself was an achievement. It was, but I spent like literally 7 hours just kneading cabbage, like just squeezing it and squeezing it and, you know, making that noise.
In the dark as well.
Yeah.
In the dark. Stood in the quail.
We're another quail down.
Yeah. It was a big day for me.
So cauliflower and cheese sauce.
Cauliflower cheese sauce, sprouts.
Yep.
I'd go for sprouts, but that might be a side.
Oh, I mean, we can move on to your side dish if you want.
Or can we just do both together?
Yeah, let's do both in tandem. Trimmings and the side dish.
Okay, so sprouts.
Yes.
Roasted in the oven with parmesan and balsamic. Oh, nothing else.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Thank you.
You got to roast them.
You got to roast them.
This is why sprouts got a bad rep.
Yeah.
Because people were boiling them.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's a bit of rehabilitation going on with the sprouts.
Is there?
I think so. I want to be at the vanguard. I want to promote sprouts.
Sprouts were cancelled. Before cancel culture existed, sprouts were cancelled.
Yeah.
And now they've posted an apology on their iPhone notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're coming
That's
back.
Right. Cabbage has seen all the pretenders come and go. Doesn't it? Yeah. Sure has. Cabbage sounds like a pirate. Cabbage.
Cabbage sounds like a pirate?
Yeah. Have you not known?
Forgot to. We need to get the Ardell's wife's phone number ready. What do you mean it sounds like a pirate? Like a pirate's name called Cabbage?
Well, I mean, cabbage. Have you ever looked at a cabbage for, like, property?
There's a period in my life where I looked at a lot of cabbages. Yeah. If I'm honest, Ardell.
That's true, Ardell. Yeah.
It wasn't a good time. But yes, I've looked at a cabbage.
You have.
Did you ever think that sounds like a pirate?
No. Didn't cross my mind, and I'm embarrassed to say that now. So you look at a cabbage.
I just think of, I don't really think of a cabbage. This is the first time I've thought of a cabbage in terms of pirates. And what I meant by that is, like, you know, you've all this terrible food, kale and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That have been in fashion for periods of time.
Yeah.
And they've gone, rightly.
Yeah.
People have realized, what were we thinking?
Yeah.
Cabbage has been there all along. Like smoking a pipe. Not literally. I'm not being literal here.
It's not
really a pirate.
Using imagery.
Using imagery of like the cabbage has been there, like an old pirate who's not at sea anymore.
Not at sea anymore.
He's not at sea anymore. Yeah, no. He's sitting on the dock of the bay.
Yes.
Well, what's he doing on the dock of the bay?
He's been smug about how he's survived famine, shipwreck.
That's a very different song.
Yeah.
Sitting on the dock of the bay, feeling smug that I survived famine and shipwreck. Sitting on the dock of the bay, smoking a pie.
Or I'm Still Standing is another way of...
The Cabbage would sing I'm Still Standing.
Is another track on the Cabbage album.
So they've got an album now. It's got an album.
Oh, God, stop.
Telling yourself to stop, Ardell.
Can release a Christmas album, The Cabbage. You know, there's a lot of people who have released Christmas albums. Bradley Walsh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jason Manford.
Why not a cabbage?
Cabbage is
Why not a cabbage at this point? It is still standing, anyway, sitting on the dock of the bay.
Brussels sprouts, baby cabbages, parmesan, balsamic.
Lovely.
So that's the side dish. Mm. It's just the Brussels sprouts, but the cabbages and maybe...
Cabbage is just... we just got talking about cabbage. It's not...
The sprouts are the children of the cabbage.
They are.
Would you want us... Maybe we could prepare a cabbage exactly the same as the Brussels sprouts, so you got like a giant Brussels sprout. With all the balsamic and the parmesan, and we've roasted it just right.
Yeah,
it would be like a big one of those.
Or could we get like tiny cauliflowers?
Yeah,
we could. I've always thought, tiny cauliflowers are just chop a cauliflower, I guess.
Yeah. As soon as I said it, I thought that too.
Because a cauliflower is basically loads of tiny cauliflowers all together. Right.
Yeah.
Stuck to one another.
I'm so glad you're here to keep it all legit. So sprouts, cauliflower cheese sauce.
Yeah.
Carrots in some type of honey or, you know.
Honey glazed.
A honey glazed carrot.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely. Yeah. Roasted.
Yeah. A Yorkie.
The pudding, not the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's be clear, because you've been going a bit wild with this menu every now and again.
Yeah, I'm glad you checked there, because I was thinking, dog or chocolate bar.
But yeah. Yorkshire pudding. Chocolate bar, of course.
Yeah.
If you were to rank the Yorkies, the pudding, the chocolate bar, and the dog.
Or the dog.
Just favourites, and you can apply favourite anyway, doesn't have to be eating it. What order would you put them in?
I'd put the Yorkshire pudding first.
That'd be your top.
That would be my number one. Yeah.
He hates Yorkshire puddings.
Do you not like Yorkshire puddings?
Don't like them.
Is that because you've never had a good one? Because they're very, very hard to get right.
Everyone always says this. Everyone always says this. But I think I probably have had what people would consider a good one. Mm-hmm. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. They take up too much real estate on the plate.
No, they don't though. And if you've listened to the podcast, you'll know this has already been disproven.
They take up too much real estate on the plate. It's
already been disproven. Someone has pointed out that you put the Yorkshire pudding on first and everything else can go on top of that. Or even the small ones, you can put those on top of everything else. It doesn't take up any real estate.
Yeah, but then you're piling...
That does not work anymore, Ed.
Yeah.
Piling up food. No way, man.
And have you ever had the Yorkshire pudding, which is the size of the plate? Are we talking about that?
There's that as well, yeah.
Which I've had. Which is literally, instead of a plate, you have a Yorkshire pudding.
Not instead of a plate.
Yes.
You're not spending all that time on cutlery and then not even putting a plate out.
Well, I mean, it's a way of containing all the meat and the other stuff.
Yeah, but then you're pouring... I have had that before, actually.
Yeah,
but then you pour gravy in on the other stuff, and then at some point you have to breach. You have to breach the pudding, and then all the gravy comes pouring out.
Yeah, but wear shorts. I mean...
Yeah. No one's ever said that to me before. Wear shorts.
Good on you, man.
Yeah.
Good on you saying it to him. Yeah. How's that for a guest?
Chocolate dog pudding. That's my ranking.
Yeah.
You go the pudding last.
Yeah.
The chocolates first and the dog in
dog
the middle.
Dog in the middle, yeah.
I would go... Normally, I would put a dog high up any list.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't particularly like Yorkies.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be bottom of my list.
Yeah.
The dog would be bottom of mine.
Yeah.
The chocolate bar, the pudding would be top of mine. Yeah, as well. Yeah, yeah. So I think Ardell and I have the same.
Yeah.
Same rankings.
Yeah. We're the same.
Yeah.
We're the same.
Great buds.
Yeah.
only thing that Ed hates more than Yorkshire puddings is Kerrygold butter.
No,
he
that's
hates
not
it.
True. That's not true. Actually, I fucking do hate it, actually. Every Irish guest says, oh, I love Kerrygold butter. And I just think,
I haven't mentioned it.
No. Not yet. Might be coming.
We just have to wait and see.
Let's wait till dessert.
What's your dream drink then, Ardell?
Red wine. I know. It's that simple. Red wine.
Just any red wine?
I'm not fussy. I've gone through periods where I was more interested in red wine and I spent far too much money on it. But now I've got the ratio right, like kind of loveliness to cost.
Yeah.
So that is important, that metric.
Yes. Do you have a favourite at home if you're buying red wine for, you know, to have with a roast dinner or something? Is there a go-to for you?
It'd be a Bordeaux if I was, you know. Yeah. All the different ones. But a Bordeaux would be my favourite. Cabernet Sauvignon heavy with a touch of Merlot.
Left bank.
Bit of Pouillac or something like that.
Lovely. It's quite expensive.
Yeah, but no, I don't buy the expensive stuff.
Right.
Where I got a taste for it first was, I don't know if you ever did this gig in Paris. There was a gig in Paris years ago. So one night, for whatever reason, he decided to pay me in wine and paintings. So he had a little gallery. This is absolutely true. Yeah. So he had a little gallery beside. Paintings were quite nice. So, you know, you kind of went, fair enough. Wine and paintings, at least I'm getting something. And he just said, go into the gallery and pick something there. So we picked a painting, which we still hang in our house to this very day. Yeah. And then he says, come on and get on the back of his scooter.
You're holding a painting at this point.
Holding a painting, yeah. And bombing through Paris. And he brings me to this little, I don't know what you'd call it. It was a shop of some sort, but it was a very small, pokey little shop. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like it was almost one of those where you had to kind of knock on the door while peering suspicious, you know, around. And you go in and they had all these one-off bottles. And I knew nothing about wine at this stage. And he was saying, these are the best wines. So there's one called Chateau Latour, which is, you know, it's a very famous wine. It costs about £1,000 a bottle. Like this was from 1965 or something. And you could see it's like a lot of it was missing. Well, some of it was missing through evaporation or whatever. And so you have no idea how they were stored or anything, but they were all found in cellars or disused houses. Or, like, I don't know where they found this stuff, but it was really cheap, like, you know, maybe 20 euros.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got a bottle of that. And then just having a bottle of that and then reading about it and learning about it and, like, kept it for months and months and months, think, you know, like, oh, God, you know, what occasion will we open this bottle? And eventually you open it and it's a bit crap because it's because it's really, really old and everything else. But then I had another experience where this person I was working with, who was very, very wealthy, and he lived in sort of near Regent's Park and stuff like that. And he had a wine cellar. Didn't drink red wine himself, bizarrely, but he had a fantastic cellar. Mm. And we were there for Sunday dinner once. And he said, basically, go down and take whatever you want for dinner. And we took a bottle of Chateau Latour. And it was the most amazing.
Wow.
Drinking experience I think I've ever had.
So that was the same wine that you got from the little shop?
Yeah.
But this was like proper, been looked after.
Like really incredible. I mean, I've only had it once in my life. Like,
yeah. Oh, hold on, what?
So.
I thought you had it twice.
But this is a dream restaurant, so.
Oh, yeah. You'll have that dream one again. Thank you. From the rich man's house.
Yeah, not the one with the bit missing.
After a gig to, I assume, horrific expats.
Oh, no.
Who's the rich man?
Yes. Everyone sat there going, who could that rich man?
Who's the rich man?
I'm not going to tell you.
Who do we think the rich man could be?
I'm not going
to tell you. Want to tell us who the rich man is?
Nope.
Are they Irish?
Nope. Mm. English.
English rich man.
English rich man.
There are
a few.
King Charles now, actually. King Charles the second, the third, fourth? I don't know. Sorry.
Someone who works in the entertainment field, who I worked with once upon a time, briefly.
King Charles definitely drinks red wine, anyway.
Mm. Yeah,
you've seen his weird fingers.
Yeah. I met him once.
Did you?
I did, yeah. I met him once. I did a play in London years ago called See You Next Tuesday. It was a farce. And
could have looked at either one of us when you said that.
Yeah.
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday, of course. You'll be familiar. Yeah.
No, I was doing See You Next Tuesday.
Yes.
And Prince Charles and Camilla came along one night.
Yes.
Actually, do you know who came the night before? Roger Moore and Michael Caine.
What?
Came together to the
play.
Wow. Yeah. They had a dining club, which coincidentally was called the See You Next Tuesday Dining Club. They used to meet once a month on a Tuesday night.
Roger Moore and Michael Caine were in a dining club called the Cunt Club.
Yeah. And they came backstage and they met us all and it was lovely. And then the next night, he was then a mere prince, Prince Charles, and Camilla came along and he just whispered to me, he said, by the way.
So is this backstage?
This is backstage.
He walked right up to you and started whispering.
Yeah. Yeah, he whispers. It's not that unusual that a member of the royal family would whisper. Is it?
Hmm.
I would say they spend most of their time at court, standing behind curtains, whispering.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, whispering to each other, plotting.
So what he said to me was, he said, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. It's a shit story. He just said... He just said, he said, by the way, I love Father Ted. He said, so that's to his credit, if nothing else.
he loves Father Ted.
Hey, imagine that he knew what See You Next Tuesday meant.
Oh, I think he knows.
Oh, yeah, I've just remembered some of the stuff he said. You know, the bit I'm thinking of, right? Mm.
What, that Charles has said?
Yeah.
No. I genuinely don't know. I'm not even trying to tease this out of you.
It was reported that he once said to Camilla on the phone, they were having like a sexy conversation. You know this, that he wanted to be her tampon.
He whispered that to me as well.
I love Father Ted. Oh, and also, before I go, Ardell, I want to be your tampon.
We arrive at your dream dessert, then, Ardell. So exciting. Do you mind if I like to eat a dessert while the guest is talking about dessert, because I love dessert so much.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yes. So, feel free to... here it is. There's a little dessert here for me in a cloud.
Yeah. Now, this next choice is very important, James.
Well, it's a bit sticky.
Yeah. I don't know if I can... I don't know if I can watch.
How's the girth?
Oh, my God. It's full... It's full of a cream. That looks... I'm sorry about this, Ardell. I didn't know this was going to happen when I bit into this. The cream looks exactly like cum. It's not... And some has just dripped out onto my hand and is currently running down. But it's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ardell.
No, you go ahead.
I regret it. Please, what dessert?
mine involves rhubarb. Largely for sentimental reasons. My mother's rhubarb, I can't say rhubarb very well. Rhubarb. There is an extra R in there, isn't there? Rhubarb. Rhubarb.
Rhubarb.
Rhubarb crumble.
No. Rhubarb crumble.
Rhubarb crumble. My mother made a fabulous rhubarb crumble. she made a really good crumble.
Yes.
And I always loved it. I've tried to replicate it myself on occasions.
Oh, replicate caused you some trouble there, didn't it? Yeah.
Is this making you nervous?
It is. I don't like it, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I can tell you don't like it.
I don't like the whole concept. I mean, you know,
yep.
Nothing against penises.
No,
or the or the bun.
That's not a bum.
Do you think, Ardell, do you think that's a bum?
A what?
Do you think the things that dangle below your penis are a bum?
I said a bun.
No, a bun.
I thought you said a bum.
No.
I thought you thought the balls were the bum. That would be a real exclusive. Yeah. Ardell O'Hanlon thinks his balls are his bum.
Yes, that would be...
Also...
That would be really terrible. So I've been shitting out my penis all these years. That would be really weird, all right, just Ed. Ooh, silly me.
The detail... Sorry. The detail that I like here is that they have put more of the cream... In the balls.
Yeah.
That's where most of it is. I think there's a load of napkins there.
Well, don't wipe your hands yet. You've got a whole fanny to finish.
I'm not eating the fanny.
This, by the way, is tarnishing the memory of my lovely mother.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Ardell.
That's okay. That's okay.
You're talking about your mother's lovely crumble that you used to enjoy, and
yeah,
we didn't know that your dessert would be so heavily tied to your mother when we decided I would eat a chocolate cock. And it just feels more disrespectful.
Yeah.
To sit here throughout the story with my hands, and this isn't a pun, caked. In sweet jizz.
Thank you, Aled.
This is Aled, everyone. Round of applause. I'm so sorry.
That's fine.
Please wipe all the cum off your hands before Ardell remembers his mother. Yeah.
This is all I'm going to remember about this night as well.
Well, we're talking about your mother.
Yeah. Anyway, I like rhubarb crumble. Rhubarb is a thing that I like to touch. Sometimes I cut it freestanding. I've tried to. I came across a recipe for like a more contemporary crumble with pink peppercorns.
Mm.
Yeah. A food writer called Ravinder Bogal, I think is her name. So pink peppercorns, pomegranates, loads of orange juice as well as rhubarb. And then the crumble can be sort of anything, loads of different nuts and the other stuff that goes into crumble.
What else is in the crumble?
The bread, the biscuits or whatever the fuck.
Biscuits.
I'm getting tired. I've never talked this much in my life. About anything.
Oats, maybe oats.
Oats, all that kind of thing.
It's just rhubarb in the
almonds, crushed almonds.
Yeah.
It's mainly rhubarb, pomegranates.
Yeah.
Orange juice.
Yep.
Lots of sugar. And I think that's about it. And pink peppercorns, loads of them, to give it that crunch.
Yeah.
And to give it that, just a spice kick.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it's really
sounds
good.
Great. Yeah, I'd really like to try that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get my favourite bit of the crumble is when some of the rhubarb bubbles through the crumble at
bubbles.
The top.
Bubbles? I don't want anything to do with it. No way.
I'm so sorry, Ardell.
I do not want bubbles in my rhubarb crumble.
I'm so sorry.
That's more disturbing than him eating the chocolate cock.
There's a few bubbles in that.
No bubbles.
No bubbles in the crumble.
You know the thing I mean, though, where it breaches a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do like that. Yeah. Yeah. The sort now, of the lava flow.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it goes a bit more caramelized around the edges. Yeah. Oh, fuck, I love rhubarb crumble. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What are you having the rhubarb crumble with? What's your accompaniment with the rhubarb crumble?
Rhubarb ice cream, I suppose.
Really?
Yeah.
That's massive. I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm. Where are you making the rhubarb ice cream? Are you buying the rhubarb ice cream?
My wife is making the rhubarb ice cream. I'll make the crumble, but she will make the rhubarb.
It's like every time it's like there's a sort of 80s rap DJ. rhubarb.
Working at the waltzes or something.
Yeah.
I should have practiced that. I should have practiced that word before coming out tonight.
Well, you didn't know what was going to happen, to be fair.
No, you didn't know what's going to happen.
Thrown me completely.
I regret it so much. Mm. How many scoops of rhubarb ice cream are we talking about?
I would just go one. I'm not really a dessert person. I prefer cheese.
Yeah, baby. Well, Ardell, what I'd say is, if you don't feel forced into a dessert, if you want to, if you prefer cheese, you can have a cheese board at this point of the meal.
Can I have both?
No,
I think if you don't want the rhubarb crumble, you don't have to worry about that. You can have a cheese board instead. You can have a cheese board instead of dessert, Ardell.
Ardell, oh, hang on.
Okay. I think, because I've had rhubarb crumble since I was, like, one.
You've had it too much.
I've had it too much, haven't I?
Yeah. James, for the listener, has just tried to throw a chocolate vagina at Ardell. And it's disappeared.
It's gone.
Yet again. This happens with all of James's breakups.
Oh, there it is.
So, would you like, instead of the rhubarb crumble, you'd like to go for a...
I think so.
A cheese board, yeah.
Yeah.
Through what cheeses you'd like, Ardell?
Well, there's got to be a hard one in there.
Yes.
I would go. I would go a Gouda.
Oh, lovely.
An aged Gouda.
Yeah.
An aged Gouda.
Dutch cheese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Martin easier House. To say than rhubarb.
Yes. Yeah.
Gouda. So I would definitely have that. Like the older the better. Stinkier.
Lovely. And there's also a little bit of sweetness in some cheeses, so you are getting some sweetness in this.
You are, yeah. Salty, sweet.
Salty, sweet.
Nutty.
Yeah.
Does this happen a lot?
This hasn't happened on the tour yet, actually. I'm absolutely delighted that it's the last one.
Yeah.
James is now peeking out from behind the set. A blue cheese, Ardell?
A blue cheese, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, sure. A Stilton. I would go with Stilton.
A classic Stilton. Yeah.
Yeah. A blue cheese. So soft... that'd be the hard, the blue. The soft would be a Mont.
So you.
Okay, I'm going to have dessert.
He'll have dessert, James.
Oh, God. Yeah. But a Mont d'Or. I love
Mont d'Or. Yeah, lovely.
Cheese.
Mont d'Or. Yeah, delicious. Yeah.
Yeah, and, oh, yeah, rhubarb crumble. I would love to have that. It would be great.
Mm. You read your menu back to you now, Ardell, see how you feel about it. It's a lovely menu. You would like still water in a glass with good girth, heft, weight and lip. You want skips the size of poppadoms. You would like 24 oysters with shallots and red wine vinegar. You would like your wife's special scallops with the discs of clonakilty... black pudding with a minty pea puree, a fried quail's egg and a disc of fried apple. Main course, stinky beef with all the normal trimmings, cauliflower, cheese sauce, roast sprouts with parmesan and balsamic as your side dish.
honey glazed carrots and a Yorkshire pudding. Drink, 1965 Chateau de la Tour from the rich man's cellar. Dessert, rhubarb crumble with rhubarb ice cream, followed by a cheese board with Gouda, Stilton, Mondor and whatever else disgusting shit was on there.
The menu of Ardalo Hanyan.
Hanyan?
Ardalo Hanyan?
Thank you so much, Ardal. You've been brilliant.
Ardal, that is a delicious menu.
That's a fantastic menu. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much, Darwin.
Ardalo Hanyan, everybody!
Ardalo Hanyan! Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming, everyone.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
There we are, final show of the tour, done.
Thank you, everyone who came to the Off Menu Live tour and made it so much fun for us.
Yes.
You were all wonderful audiences every single night. There wasn't one evening where we came off and went, blech.
Yeah, exactly.
What a rubbish crowd. Every time we were like, we're the luckiest men on the planet.
And we did say that. And thanks so much to everyone at Plosive. Thanks so much to our tour manager, Paul. Thanks
Paul
so much
Brown.
To photographer, Paul. Thanks to our whole crew. We had a whole crew on the tour with us, James.
There was a whole crew, which is something that, like, Ed and I will hold our hands up, or maybe I should just hold my hand. Maybe Ed didn't know this, but when Benito said, hey, do you want a set? Here's an idea for the set.
Yeah.
It's a lamp, it's a clouds, and you're going to be sitting on clouds. There'll be a big poppadom in the background. We're like, yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah.
And then we turned up on the first night, and there was a massive tour bus outside the venue, and we were like, is that for us? Like a joke?
Yeah.
And then they went, yep.
Yeah.
We're like, what? Like, well, it's for you, for your crew.
Crew got to sleep
we're
on like, that.
What are you talking about? We went in. Oh, yeah. People have to set up the set that we approved.
And bring it with them and stuff.
And they have to pack it down every night.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on the residency nights, they have to do it on the final night. Pack it all down. And then travel overnight to the next venue.
Yeah.
Sleeping in the... So, bunch of absolute legends. Just so good. Like, it meant that we didn't have to stress at all for the whole tour.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. And sorry for making you do it.
Yes. Apologies to everyone involved. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Shrink the Books is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favorite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Namon Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behavior creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Books is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.